He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. And he just told me, great is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So if I got the greater one in me, what am I to be afraid of? So he that prophesies does what? Edifies the church. Look at verse 14. But it says in verse 14, for if I pray where? In an unknown tongue, what happened? My spirit prays, but my understanding is what? That means I'm praying in tongues, but my mind, I don't know what I'm saying. So what am I to do? He said, I'm building up myself on my most holy faith. I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. I'm praying secrets. See, I'm praying about secret things. I'm talking secret things over with God. I'm going to give you another one. Turn to Romans chapter. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to use the Amplified on this one, okay? We're talking about spiritual things, becoming God inside-minded, becoming educated, becoming spiritual aware, or becoming aware of the realm of the spirit. Letting it become real to you, more real than its natural realm. That you, what you say, you know it will come to pass. Now watch it. That you can deal with stuff operating in the spirit you can't deal with in the natural. You're limiting what you can do in the natural. But Jesus said out of his own mouth, didn't he say it? He said in John 7:37, in that last day, Jesus stood and cried, saying, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that river of living water is not for you. It's for the people that's in trouble. He didn't say out of your belly shall flow a river. He said rivers. Of what? What kind of water?
Living
water. What did living water do? It give life to that person that's dead, about to die. To the thirsty. To the dry. And this is why we yield to the Holy Ghost, because people are thirsty, they are dead, they're dry. They need life. And when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we rivers of living water is flowing. The walls that had dammed up God's blessing is torn down, and here come rivers flowing life to citizens, to people that's hurting, that's lost, on the way to hell. And we don't do it, they're going to hell. But God, and the sad thing to get there, he said, my God, I don't supposed to be here. Why am I here? Jesus paid the price, and I didn't have no, and I am not supposed to be here, but I'm trapped because I wouldn't hear the gospel. Didn't that rich man say it? Luke 16. He said, send Lazarus, Abraham, let him put his finger in some water and come put it on my tongue. And you know what? You know what what people say? I won't call no name, I almost did. Say that's a parable. No, it's not. You go read it. Jesus said, a certain rich man. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you a parable. Every time he said, told a parable, he would say, he spake a parable to this end. He said, a certain rich man, a certain rich man did this. He told Abraham, will you let Lazarus put his finger in some water and come here and put it on my tongue? He said, no, I can't do that because there's a gulf. You can see us, but there's a gulf between us. If he can't pass from me, leave me and come to you because he'll run into that gulf. And you can't leave from where you are and come here because. He said, well, you can't do that. Will you please send him back and tell my five brothers? You don't think hell is real? Here's a man in hell trying to preach the gospel. Whew. Here he is. He wants his brother. He said, I don't want to come here. And I said the same thing about Vietnam. I don't want none of my brothers to go here, come there. Said the same thing. It was so horrible. I said, I don't want them to come here. And that was just a temporary thing for me. But hell is not a temporary place. Come on. So, what I want you to see, that God have equipped the church, and the church got to take a hold to what God has given us, and let's learn these things and walk in them. Every day, this is our responsibility. This is our privilege. Now look, we finally, let's look at Romans 8. In it, 26, Romans 8, 26, what? Listen what it says. So too, this is amplified. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. What does he do? He comes to our aid. And what else? And bears us up in our weakness. What happened? He comes to our aid. You ever have anybody? Let me give you just a little illustration. I was coming from Calhoun City the other day. And I noticed my truck running funny. And I said, I know I just had it worked on. And all of a sudden, I never had a blowout that bad. All of a sudden, my tire went boom. I thought the front end fell out. So here I am, stuck on the side of the road. You know how it's been raining. No shoulder to pull off on. Halfway in the road, halfway off. I had to have somebody come to my aid quick. And you know who I thought? You know who I thought? I said, Bo! On the phone. Come here! He showed up. Came to my aid. Amen. And you see the truck is at the house. We got it fixed. This is what the Holy Ghost is here to come to our aid. I need some help. I needed some help. And the Holy Ghost showed up. Hallelujah. He said, bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily, as we are. But what? But the Spirit himself does what? Goes to meet our what? Supplication. You know what the word supplication means? I'm just going to stay with it. I'm just going to stay with it. I ain't going to bag away. I'm just going to stay. He goes to meet our supplication. He going to stay with it. He's going to stay with you until that thing get changed. Amen. Whoo, yeah. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Meet our what? And plead in our behalf. How does he plead in our behalf? With unspeakable yawning and groaning too deep for utterance.